Presentation.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Happy Monday, everybody. This is Rachel Erickson. Charlie Cochran is not with us today, so you're going to be listening to me today. Feel free to give us a call down here at the station if you have a question, 636-1350. We can either have you live on the show or you can just present your question and I'll answer it. Otherwise, I've got a topic today, and I know that we use this topic frequently, but I needed to go over it again because I need to impart to my listening community and anybody who cares to listen to this or, you know, talk to somebody else about this issue because it's becoming more and more prevalent, and that is the traumatic brain injury. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that and the difference between traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress syndrome, because we see these things so much in our car accident practice. It happens way more than anybody would expect. And I know that we're all, or most of us, if you're listening to this show, you're probably aware of all the NFL stuff that went on. And if you didn't see the movie Concussion, I highly recommend it, starring Will Smith. Excellent, excellent movie. It got a lot of downplay, but it was a really good movie. And so today I want to talk about it in terms of car accidents, but if you or a loved one or your children especially are into sports of any kind, especially basketball, baseball, football, soccer, but tennis as well, less so maybe swimming, but you know, any of these sports that require balls or a lot of action, or God forbid, rugby or something like that. Luckily, what we're seeing is a much better awareness of the head injury. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to explain to you first what it is and why it's so important. A closed head injury occurs when the soft tissue, meaning your brain, is forced into contact with the hard, bony outer covering of the brain, which is the skull. So it doesn't mean you actually have to hit your head on anything. It happens a lot in whiplash injuries, which can be cars, horses, it could be roller coasters even, but I think that's a little less often because rarely as sudden a start and a stop. But if you look at the biomechanics of it, which is the study of how your body moves and its effect on your organs and your soft tissues, you would see that it's this rapid acceleration, deceleration that can often cause these brain injuries. Now, what I think is really interesting, my son played tennis in high school. He's just graduated. Congratulations. But even in tennis, they had to take what they call, they had to do the concussion protocols, which I think is interesting. And so I went, because this being kind of a pet subject of mine, so I went to the class, and it was a morning class, and they explained how brain injuries happened and, you know, balls hitting the head and acceleration, deceleration, and then all the kids have to go and take a test. And that test is so that if later in the year they do get a concussion, which, by the way, concussion is by definition a head injury, then they could go take the test again, and then you could balance those and see if there were symptoms that carried on after just the initial head injury. But I found interesting in looking through this, and I'm just thrilled that they do this. This is fantastic. And I know some of the people involved in making sure that this happens, and it happens at the high school level, junior high school level, SRJC does it, Sonoma State does it, but what they don't do is the junior high school and the little kids don't do it. They don't do testing for the little ones, and I think that that is just kind of a crime almost. Why would you do the older kids when the little kids are very susceptible to this sort of thing? And there are studies, and I'm not going to go real deeply into the child studies, but there are studies that say that, you know, skulls tend to be bigger on children and they can be more susceptible to head injury. For example, the good old shaken baby syndrome that we've all heard of. And that was maybe even the initial way that we kind of started going, whoa, this head injury thing is really serious. This is really common in Vietnam, or in veterans, but also car accident victims, people that fall off of horses, and of course sports. So if you suspect that there's a head injury in you or someone you love, you need to really be aware of it, because there doesn't have to be a loss of consciousness. That's a common myth. A loss of consciousness is not necessary. A lot of times somebody will go to the emergency room and everything seems fine, and they'll do a CT scan. Maybe if they suspect a concussion, they'll do a CT scan. The CT is normal. All your testing is going to be normal. And it's not until you go home and a couple weeks later, you're still seeing these symptoms that you start going, oh my gosh, there's something really wrong. If you have any sort of a head trauma with nausea, vomiting, then you probably do have a head injury. And it's just a matter of, are you going to have symptoms that carry on after the concussion? Because usually, most times, you're going to feel fine after, you know, maybe a couple of days. But there are those that don't. And it should be also noted that they've come out with a recent study, though it was already known, but they've done a really good recent study that shows that if you've had prior head injuries, any subsequent head injury is going to be worse. So if you have multiple head injuries, the next one is probably going to be worse, and you're going to suffer the symptoms a lot longer. So let me tell you what the symptoms are. Headaches are pretty common. Dizziness, fatigue is really common, irritability, anxiety, insomnia, loss of concentration and memory, ringing in the ears is common, blurry vision is common, sensitivity to noise and light, and very rarely, but it does happen, some sort of decrease in taste or smell. So those are the common ones. And if you have a few of those, you may be suffering from a head injury. And it happens a lot in car accidents. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I frequently run into this in my practice. And what I see is that the defense industry, meaning the insurance industry that I'm working against, they try and make it sound like, oh, you know, your client's just getting old, so her vision's going because she's getting old, or, oh, so what, she has headaches. Well, she didn't lose consciousness. Well, her CT was normal. Well, her Glasgow coma score was normal. And I'm not even going to go into what that is. But the bottom line is, everything seems normal. And a lot of time, the person themselves does not realize what's going on, but the people around them do, and see, you know, well, she usually likes to read a lot and she can't read now because it gives her a headache, and because she can't, you know, one that I see a lot, especially in students, high school students, is you see that they'll read for their homework or something, and by the time they get to the bottom of the page or even the bottom of the paragraph, they can't remember what the first part of the paragraph was. And now you have to be careful of, you know, being too worked up about this, because there is some normal, you know, stuff that, yeah, you do, your vision does go when you hit your mid 40s or 50s. Yeah, you know, students in high school maybe don't want to study that much and don't remember what the top of the page said. So you don't want to be, you know, too crazy about this, but this does happen a lot more than you think it does, and it's really frustrating to deal with if you're around these people. And moodiness, you know, I said irritability and anxiety and insomnia, but it's a lot of times it's moodiness and that can be anger, bursts of anger that seem really unusual, or bursts of crying and tearfulness, just mood swings are really common. So if you have a loved one that has these symptoms after an accident of some sort, just be aware that it could be a little more serious than you think. And most of the time, these symptoms will go away within a couple weeks. And if that happens, great. Sometimes it'll take 3 months, sometimes 6 months. But when you start getting to a year and a half and 2 years, you need to start thinking, uh-oh, this could be a long-term problem. Now, hopefully that won't be you, but I am dealing with this right now in several cases. I probably have at any given time, I would say I probably have 7 or 8 of these cases in my office, ranging in severity. Some of them so severe that it's, you know, and they're still considered mild. I mean, a major brain injury means you're in a coma. So just so you know, mild traumatic brain injury means that you can still function. You can still basically get up in the morning, and you maybe can probably still drive. You could probably go to the grocery store, but if you will you remember what you need when you get there is another issue. And so when I have these clients, I make sure that I give them written instructions that they can refer to over and over again so that they know what I need from them, what they need to be doing. And there is some treatment for it, sort of, but there isn't really any effective treatment yet. And you have to understand that this is not really well studied, because you can't cut open someone's head and look at it while they're still alive. So this is a really hard thing to study. They're getting to be having MRIs that with color that can show what parts of the brain are working and what parts aren't. But of course, those are not really being used for this particular study very much yet. I expect that that'll be within the next couple of years, and they're starting it especially with sports. And it's interesting to see that, especially with the NFL, you're seeing football players saying, no, I'm not going to do it because I just don't want to end up with that kind of a problem. So it's been really interesting to watch the progress of this and how this has kind of come into our notice as just regular people on the street, and how we're still studying it and how that's going to progress in the future. So I'm going to go ahead and take a little break right now. And after the break, we're going to talk a little bit about post-traumatic stress syndrome and how that's similar and how that's a little different from your traumatic brain injury. This is Rachel Erickson with Ask the Expert, and we'll be back in a minute.
I'm Clark Wolf. Listen to At the Table with Clark Wolf, Saturdays noon to 1, right here on KSRO.
Hi, this is Rachel Erickson from Kornblum Cochran, Erickson & Harbison. All attorneys think that they can represent auto accident victims, but not all can do it well. So the injured person needs representation that is personal, thorough, and well-versed in the law as it changes over time. You can count on all of these qualities in our attorneys and staff at Kornblum Cochran, Erickson & Harbison. Call us at 707-544-9006.
For more information, go to kcehlaw.com.
Bay Murray and his development partners aim to reignite an urban neighborhood by restoring an abandoned firehouse, but the condition of the area made finding financing difficult. That's when Tri-Counties Bank commercial lender Tim Ching and his team came to the rescue. They worked with Bay and city leaders, creating a commercial lending solution that renovated the firehouse into a hoppin' restaurant, revitalizing the area. That's service with a vision. For personalized problem solving, switch to Tri-Counties Bank. Service with solutions. Member FDIC.
In this tight labor market, finding new employees can be tough. Whether you're the business owner or an HR professional, you want access to highly qualified candidates fast. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, no matter the industry, with Indeed, you get immediate access to a high-quality pool of talent with no long-term contracts or upfront fees. For a limited time, Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to make their first job listing a sponsored job, with premium visibility so more candidates will see it. You want to make a great hire fast, and this exclusive offer gives you a head start. Independent research shows 6 times more hires are delivered through Indeed than any other job site, making Indeed your one-stop source for hiring. To redeem this offer, go to Indeed.com/offer. That's Indeed.com/offer. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
The U.S. Embassy.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
This is Rachel Erickson here with you on Monday's edition of Ask the Expert. Again, if you feel like calling me with a question and you want some free legal advice, you can call me at 636-1350, and I'm here to answer your questions today. So today we were talking a little bit about traumatic brain injuries, and I don't deal with severe ones most of the time because that means you're comatose, and if you're comatose, that's a whole different ball of wax. So most of the ones that I'm dealing with are considered mild, which means you can still function. So one of the funny things in a case that I'm dealing with right now that I got from the defense that kind of cracked me up is the defense expert is a pretty well-known psychiatrist, neuropsychologist, neuropsychiatrist. And he kind of had to hedge around the issue because the defense pays him to make sure that the defense wins the case or does as well as they can to reduce the damages. So what he did was he basically said, oh, you know what? I actually have it here because I thought it was so funny. I brought it in. He said, as to the present accident, there is no radiologic evidence of a traumatic brain injury, which if there was, by the way, it would mean that it was a moderate to severe head injury. So there's no radiologic evidence of traumatic brain injury, but complaints are suggestive of concussion with memory loss, post-traumatic amnesia, sensitivity to light and sound, and evidence of PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress syndrome. And so then what the defense did is they took the next sentence out of that and said that, well, there was no baseline, because this is what the expert said, there's no baseline to judge from. And I just want to point out that the only way to have a baseline is to have been tested already and go through brain injury protocols or have some neuropsychological testing. And that's not going to happen until you have one, unless you're in high school sports or college sports. So I had to point that out, and I'm just like, okay, whatever. So I don't want to go through all the criteria for post-traumatic stress syndrome because you'll probably go to sleep and it won't make a very interesting show. But I do want you to know that there is out there the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, and we're on our 5th issue. So it's DSM-5, Diagnostic Statistical Manual. And that is what the professionals in the industry, psychologists, psychotherapists, social workers, neuropsychologists, psychiatrists, this is what they use to make diagnoses of all types. It's a very, very thick book. It has all kinds of different diagnoses in it. And The most important thing about post-traumatic stress disorder is that it is curable, number one, and also that it's not just stress. Everybody has stress. If you don't have stress, then I don't know. You must be a wonderful person, but most of us have stress. And the difference with post-traumatic stress is there has to be a traumatic event, and that means death, threatened death, threatened serious injury, some sort of violence. I mean, it happens a lot in veterans, as we know. And this first became kind of studied after Vietnam because there were so many problems. The vets were having so many problems when they came back from the Vietnam War. And back in, you know, the World Wars, it was called shell shock. And people didn't understand it then, and people have been working to understand it ever since Vietnam, and luckily have really come a long, long way. And most of the therapists that I know, and this can be a marriage family therapist, a licensed social worker, a neuropsychologist, even neurologists, most of them will say that post-traumatic stress disorder is 100% curable. 100% of the time, you can fix it. I've heard other therapists say, not so, my friend, not so. But if you know of somebody that has post-traumatic stress syndrome, they need to get treatment. And the treatment is called EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprogramming. And it sounds like voodoo to me. I mean, it really sounds kind of kooky when you look at it, because it did start with, you know, your eyes tracking a finger moving back and forth across your face. That's kind of what it started. And I don't really understand how it works. I'm sorry, that's not my profession. I'm a lawyer, not a doctor or a therapist. So, and I have to tell my clients that all the time. I do know a lot about these things, but, you know, I really don't understand how the brain works in that way, but it does work. And now what they do is that they have a lot of different techniques. And I am seeing more and more that clients that have post-traumatic stress syndrome are getting better. And I don't mean just better, but I mean all better. Like, it may take a while, but it gets done. And it's really interesting to me to see that this is more and more getting fixed, and you can see the progress. Now, the thing about post-traumatic stress syndrome is that a lot of times it can seem like a head injury and vice versa. There are a lot of the similar symptoms. Let's talk about some of the things that you will see with post-traumatic stress. You'll have intrusive thoughts, nightmares, or flashbacks, which really means that you're reliving that experience. You have a sensitivity to noise, like a loud bang will make you have an exaggerated response. I mean, everybody's going to startle some, but you have an exaggerated response to it. You have a lot of thoughts or feelings that are related to the particular trauma. A lot of kind of mulling over it, and intrusive thoughts just coming back and back and back. Maybe you have a little bit of an amnestic event. You can't remember everything about the trauma. Just way too much negative thoughts about the world, about yourself, about everything. And exaggerated blame of yourself or exaggerated blame of somebody else for the traumatic event. Just feeling negative, feeling bad, depression, decreased interest in things around you, things that you normally would like to do. Say you like to garden or play golf, and all of a sudden you don't want to do it anymore. A feeling of being isolated and alone, especially with this trauma. And sometimes it leads to unusual behaviors. Sometimes, like I said, with the traumatic brain injury, sometimes you have trouble concentrating, you have trouble sleeping, you might have, you know, mood swings a little bit, and hypervigilance. And what do I mean by hypervigilance? I mean, you're just really, really on top of being aware of negative stuff around you. And that can really interfere with your relationships. It can interfere with friendships, your spouse. So both of these disorders, they're sometimes, especially if you have post-traumatic stress disorder and medication for pain, those two together can often look like a traumatic brain injury. So what do you want to do? Well, if you have a traumatic brain injury, you will need to go to a neurologist who can give you a diagnosis and send you on to a neuropsychologist. And a neuropsychologist will give you just a ridiculous battery of tests, lots and lots of tests to see, you know, and it's amazing to me. And I'm not, like I said, with the post-traumatic stress, I'm not sure of the intricacies of how it works, because that would take, you know, 10 years of training. But but I do know a little bit about the tests, and I do know that they can test for baseline even just after an injury, they can test for your baseline intelligence. And then the other tests will show that you're really low on certain scales and really normal in others. And they can figure out what parts of your brain are working and which parts aren't. So for a traumatic brain injury, you get your tests, you have your diagnosis as to what's working and what's not. You'll go to a behavioral psychologist or a neuropsychologist who can train you how to actually function as best you can with what you have to work with. Now, they can't fix it. They can't make the brain injury go away. And it really is, there's very few where it goes on forever and ever and ever. But there are a few. And that training that you have with the neuropsychologist is going to teach you how to work with the decreased memory, the sensitivity to light and sound. And a lot of it is just rest. If you have a child in sports, really rest is the most important thing. They need to not go to school. They need to not be stimulated visually. So, you know, video games and TV are really not good. Dark rooms and laying down a lot are really important. Whether you're a child or an adult, the rest is the only thing that we know that can actually help your prognosis. So that's what you do there. And with PTSD, you go to a licensed therapist that actually specializes in EMDR, eye movement desensitization and revitalization, and somebody who specializes in that. And then you can get the treatments, and it won't be forever, but it will take a little while. So that's what you need to do, and you need to realize that post-traumatic stress is not just stress, and that's a common mistake. It's not a lot of stress. There has to be that traumatic event. So this has been kind of a depressing topic today. Not a lot of fun. I'll try to do a little bit better next week and make it a little more entertaining. If you have questions, feel free to call us down at the office at 544-9006, 707-544-9006, or check us out on the web at KCEH Law SR for Santa Rosa, and you'll get directly to Santa Rosa's site.